Today, the Annie E. Casey Foundation released the 2016 Kids Count Data Book. The report's an annual ranking of states on 16 key measures of child well-being, including educational, social, economic, and physical measures, looking back at 2015. For the third year in a row, Wisconsin ranks 13th in overall well-being for children. But the report found large disparities between children of color compared to white children nationally. Ken Taylor is with us to break down the latest Kids Count report. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, which helps gather state and local information for the Casey Foundation. Ken, welcome back to Central Time.
It's good to be here. Thank you, Judith.
So as we just mentioned, Wisconsin is ranked 13th nationwide on overall well-being of children, and that's been a position we've held for a while. Is that pretty good?
So that's pretty good. We're a top-tier state, so I think the exact number that we are, whether it's 11th or 13th or 14th, is less important than sort of a top-tier, middle-tier, or bottom-tier. Mm-hmm. And so the fact that we've been consistent in the top-tier, at the lower end of the top-tier, but in the top-tier, is good news, but it also masks some challenges that we have in our state.
Well, and often when we're looking at national data, it's not quite as useful to compare ourselves to all the other states, but to especially look at the region where we are. So how do we come out looking at other Midwestern states?
Well, the Midwest and the Northeast are the two parts of our country that have the highest levels of well-being. Just so happens that some of the top-ranked states are our neighbors. And so using this Rankin methodology, Minnesota is the number one state, and Iowa is the number three state. Mm. And so so there are Midwestern states that are doing better than us, but overall, the Midwest does pretty well on average when you look across all kids. But again, in those states as well, there's challenges when you dig deeper into the data.
We mentioned in the introduction that the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families helps to collect this data. It seems like a huge amount of information for the Casey Foundation to collect and then make sense of. What are some of the other sources that the study is based on?
Well, every state has its own data sources, and so we put up a lot of data on the WCCF website that isn't part of this Kids Count data report. In order to make apples-to-apples comparisons, they need to look at data sources that are relatively consistent across all of the states. And so there's a lot more data available on our website than is available in this data book. And so we look at state agency data information and sometimes more local. But every state has a slightly different profile that they're able to put up on their own Kids Count data center. But these 16 indicators are in part chosen because they are consistently measured across so that you can make an apples-to-apples comparison between different states.
Well, let's dig down into some of the data specifically for Wisconsin. One of the big factors that's looked at is economic well-being for children. How are we doing on that one?
Well, our ranking there is about what our overall ranking is, but there's some very troubling trends in that data. And so the fact is that compared to the recession, the years of the recession, that poverty is actually continuing to get worse, even as we're theoretically rebounding from the recession. And so that's one of the things that we're very concerned about, because we know that the long-term negative impacts of kids growing up in poverty has long-term effects on their education and their ability to get family-supporting jobs themselves when they're in the workforce. And so we're very concerned about that. And what that means is that there's about 250,000 children in our state that live in families below the poverty line. And so in our state, that's just under 20%, but it's been getting worse over time. And when you look at that broken down both by race and by geography, we find out that it's not equally distributed across the state. So we have a lot of work there as well.
Mm-hmm. Earlier in the show, we actually talked about how new research is showing that poverty can actually be a cause of depression in adolescents. So there are many ripple effects.
Right. And we're learning more and more. Some of the groundbreaking research is being done here at the University of Wisconsin at Madison around brain development in young kids. And the stress that kids grow up under and what that means for how their brain develops over time is getting increasingly understood and is troubling. So when you look at the data and you break it out by race, you see that kids of color are substantially more likely to be poor than white kids. And here in Dane County, you know, we see that as well. So we see a ratio of 10 to 1 when you look at the poverty of African-American kids, for example, compared to white kids. Over half of the African-American kids in Dane County are poor. More than half of the African-American kids across the state are poor. We also see nearly half of our Native American children and over a third of our Latino children and 1 in 5 Asian children are poor in our state. So we also know that geography matters. And so when we see the effects of the recession, you know, we see a lot in our rural communities as well that are struggling to rebound.
We are talking with Ken Taylor right now. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. We're talking about the recently, today released, Kids Count data book from the Annie E. Casey Foundation that's looking at the well-being of children across the nation, and we're looking specifically at Wisconsin. So, Ken, as you were saying, because minority kids are a smaller number, their situation, their plight really is being masked in that data because the kids in white families are doing so much better.
Right. Yeah. So on, if you look at averages, we tend to do quite well as a state. But when you break that down by different subgroups, we see that there's a wide variation. And we're seeing that across the country as well as our economic system is getting more divided and the income inequality is increasing, that we're seeing these wider gaps. And so that should be troubling for all of us because that we know the long-term implications of these gaps will harm all of us in the long run. And so it's really important that we come around collectively to address them as a society.
So I have to say, looking at education initially, my thought was, oh, you know, we're number 7. That's pretty good. And then I looked at some of the statistics that come under it, and I thought, whoa, there's some issues here.
There certainly is. And so I think we should be proud of certain things about our education system. And, you know, the highlight of school high school graduation. So we're actually tied for the highest rate in the nation for a high school graduation in 4 years.
And what is that rate?
So it's 93%. So 7% of high school students don't graduate on time in our state. But again, as you rightly noted, that masks, you know, some real significant disparities in that. And when we break it down by race, we see that we have some of the lower high school graduation rates for kids of color, with the biggest gap with African American students in our state. And so again, it's important to highlight things that are good and emphasize things that we should be proud of, but also know that sometimes within that are areas of deep concern, and we need to take a good hard look at the negatives along with the positives.
We're talking with Ken Taylor from the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families about the latest Kids Count data book released today, and we're taking your calls as well at 800-642-1234. Why do you think there's such a gap between the well-being of children of color and that of white children in our state? What do you think needs to change to make Wisconsin a great place to live for all children? And what's the experience of your children or grandchildren in the Badger State? Call now at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation in just a moment here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. We're continuing our conversation now with Ken Taylor from the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families, and we're talking about the latest Kids Count data book, which was released today. We're also taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Why do you think some kids are doing so much better than others? What do you think needs to change to help to close the racial gap for children in Wisconsin? And how would you like to see things change for young Wisconsinites? Call now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we just talked about education, and actually David from Appleton is on the line with something to share, so let's go there. David, hi.
Hi. Yeah, I am a teacher, and I see that if the parents have achieved a college degree, then the children are more likely to do better in school because the parents make it a habit to, you know, to push them to study and do their homework, whereas parents that barely graduated or have no high school or didn't graduate, their children tend to be less, the education is less emphasized in their homes.
All right. Thanks for that call, David. And Ken, in your experience, how much are the patterns that are in place now going to play out in 20, 40 years down the road?
Well, we certainly do see sort of these multi-generational cycles that David was talking about, and we do know that some of those things perpetuate. We also know that it's related to income and the amount of time that parents are able to spend with their kids. So not only is it the education level, but it's, we know how closely education level is related to income. Mm-hmm. And we know that when parents are working two jobs and are stressed and don't know where the rent's going to come from, their ability to support their kids' education will be more limited. And so it is education level, but that's also has a lot to do with income level.
So let's move on to children's health, because that's certainly a big issue as well. We come in at 29th. Is that a change over the last few reports?
So that has gone down, and mainly that's due not so much that our children's health has gotten worse, but other states are passing us by on many of these indicators. And so one of the things that we used to be a top-tier state in is around the number of our kids, the percent of our kids who are covered by health insurance. Mm-hmm. And so if we look 10 years ago, we were in the top five states in the country for that. Our rate of child insurance hasn't changed much, but a lot of states have passed us by, in part due to the changes that have happened at the national level with the Affordable Care Act, which has substantially increased the insurance of kids in many states that have taken advantage of the Affordable Care Act. Mm-hmm. Our state hasn't taken advantage, and so many states have passed us by. So it's not so much a reflection of health is getting worse for our kids, but in these rankings, it's relative. And so right. It's really that on these measures, health is getting better for lots of other states.
And so moving forward, what would have to happen for Wisconsin to catch up to and keep pace with our neighbors?
Well, I think one of the things that we could do is take advantage of the Affordable Care Act, which does increase health insurance for everyone. And so that could substantially boost our capacity to on these health measures. And it would also allow us to invest in other things that support kids, because we're foregoing hundreds of millions of dollars a year in federal support for our healthcare system, which then means that we have that much less money to invest in education or job training or these other things. And so that would be a big step forward, both to affect these health indicators that you're talking about, but also other things that are important for kids and families.
Let's go back to the phones, and Ronnie in Oshkosh is up. Hi, Ronnie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What do you have?
I'm here passing through y'all state, and I come up here periodically, but what he's talking about as far as children, okay, being miscounted for education goals, that's been going on because of the lungs. When they went from private to charter, that was just a sign to channel money somewhere into the private sector. So if you're taking money from one side of the spectrum and put it on the other side, you're going to deprive the other side, which is, this Constitution say every child should get an education.
Thanks for that call, Ronnie. Running a little short on time, and want to make sure that we can respond to that. So Ronnie was really saying something similar to what you were, Ken, that, you know, when money is not being taken advantage of in one area or being used in one area, there's a ripple effect. There's a downstream effect.
It does. And shifting money from public schools, you know, creates a challenge for that system. And, you know, we have one of the longest histories of vouchers and charter schools in the country, and so there's a lot of strong feelings on all sides of that issue. And the data that I've seen has not shown that there is demonstrably better output or impacts on kids on the charter or private side. And so that then begs the question around about what that. The results that has on the public education.
So Ken, we've talked especially about a racial gap showing up in many of these different factors that are covered in the report. This is not a new issue. Do you see any progress on that, or are there some solutions out there that we have not tried yet that we really need to be looking at?
So there's good news and bad news, I would say, that in some ways things are getting worse, but in other ways I think things are getting better. And one of the ways that things are getting better is that we're talking about it more. So this was something that these racial inequities were sort of brushed under the rug if they were known at all. It wasn't something that you spoke about in polite company, so to speak. And that's changing. This conversation demonstrates that. And so that's an important first step, but we have to get beyond talk. We have to get to action. And so for us, we believe that we need to invest in a two-generation approach, which means making sure that families and parents have family-supporting jobs, increasing wages and increasing hours, and having more consistent work, and also high-quality education for kids. And you put those two things together, we have to have a sense of urgency, but we also have a long-term commitment. We didn't get into this position overnight. We're not going to get out of it overnight, and we need to come together collectively over the long term to make it happen.
Ken, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Judith.
Ken Taylor is Executive Director of the Wisconsin Council on Children and Families. He joined us to talk about the latest Kids Count data book, which was just released today. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.